Sir, before we get started, may we have your name just so we know who we're talking to, sir?
Trayvon Carlson White.
Mr. White, let's see who's going to do Mr. White. Okay, just hold 1 second, sir. And the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing in just a few moments. And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Primacy this morning, sir.
Thank you. And may I ask a few questions before you start?
Well,
may I ask you a question?
We'll listen. We'll see if we can answer. Go ahead, sir.
Is my parole officer in attendance?
Your parole officer is not in attendance, sir, to the best of our knowledge.
Did you guys receive my letters I sent?
We did receive your letters, and we do have your supporters here in the room as well. Your supporters are in the room as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. So the next voice you will hear will be that of the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Mr. White?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please restate your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Trayvon Carlson White, 253372.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing today. You were notified about this hearing on March 19th. But the hearing would be today.
Yeah, today.
Okay. And I also note that you had a probable cause hearing on March 5th. Of 2019. Okay, so. On the notification that you signed on March 19th, there was a list of your hearing rights. One of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, sir, or you can represent yourself. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today in this hearing?
I wasn't able to obtain counsel, so I would have to represent myself now.
Okay, so most people do represent themselves, so you're not at a disadvantage in any way. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look to your right, so there right for me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room, and you'll see him in a moment, the Honorable Mr. Turner. He is a parole officer with Department of Corrections. He'll represent your parole officer in this hearing today. He has access to all the files and everything that we'd need to know. He also represents the Department of Corrections in this hearing.
Okay.
So, and also, I think Dr. White may have noted that you have visitors in the room as well. You have supporters in the room today.
I don't know who's there, but yes, sir.
Well, you'll know in just a moment here, because I need to swear everyone in who plans to speak. You both plan to speak. Okay, so Mr. White, Mr. Turner, Ms. White, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. White?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Turner?
I do.
Ms. White?
I do.
Ms. White?
I do.
Thank you. All right. Mr. White, since you've already had a probable cause hearing on March 5th, we'll move this hearing. They're normally held in two phases. But essentially, the probable cause hearing was phase one of your hearing. So based on information and the findings of the probable cause officer, and I'll read those to you, due to testimony from Mr. Washington, and information listed on the arrest warrant, I find probable cause that Mr. White violated a condition of his release and has lapsed or is probably about to lapse into criminal ways of company. Those were the findings of the probable cause officer. So based on those findings, I am going to move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Dr. Wright, and agreed Mr. Quinones. And just give me a moment here to...
May I ask a question?
In just a moment, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't understand him that right.
All right. Well, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Which is the part that's now going to happen, you'll have the opportunity to, to tell the board anything you want to tell us, and your supporters will have an opportunity to speak. But before we start phase two, Mr. Turner is going to fill us in with background information about your case. So just hold on, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. White was released from ADC custody on 9/11/2018 and arrested on 1/28/2019 by ADC on tech violation. Charges at that time were pending for domestic violence. He is returned back to ADC custody on 1/28/2019 with a CSED of 3/11/2020, zero abscond days. Current conviction, 2009 marijuana violation, 1 year. 2011 misconduct involving weapons, 9 years. Prior convictions, 2009 theft of a credit card obtained for fraud, 1 year, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STD information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Park South Crips Phoenix. He has no prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is significant with threatening, false reporting, disorderly conduct, and drugs noted. Other arrest, 2005. Aggravated robbery, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, armed robbery, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, resisting arrest, Arizona juvenile probation. 2006, burglary tool possession, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile detention. 2008, criminal trespassing, first degree, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2009, marijuana violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a GB score of G8, B9. Status of charges, as of April 2nd, 2019, parole supervisor Bullock contacted the Phoenix court and they say that he currently has an active warrant due to missing his court date on 2/8/2019, which he was in our custody. But there's still an open case for a misdemeanor assault, domestic violence that occurred on 1/26/2019.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, back to you, Mr. White. I'll just go over a brief summary of a written report of what occurred while you were on supervision. It looks like you were released to live with Shanette Campbell on Bannock Street in Phoenix.
Yes, ma'am.
And did you stay there the whole time that you were out, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Lived there the whole time. Okay. Were you working?
Yes, ma'am.
Where were you working?
I was working at District Photo.
Okay. And what did you do there?
Okay. We printed out like holiday cards and pictures for like Walgreens, Walmart, all the major distributors. We printed out their pictures and stuff, like family photos that they had printed through Walmart. We would basically make copies and send them out. And I was like a maintenance man, and I worked on the line also, but I was working my way up, learning how to fix the machines instead of just running the machines.
Okay, all right. That sounds like a good job.
Yeah. We used to work 12 to 10, 10 to 12 hour shifts, 5 days a week, almost 6 days a week.
Okay, all right. And it looks like as far as task, you were responsible to submit samples for task. And you had, a negative in September, a negative in October, December, 2 in January.
Yes,
however, I also see, a missed.
Yeah.
In November,
I missed in November, and I remember I had a dirty weigh-in, and I had one where I had another dirty weigh-in January 3rd of this year. I get responsibility for those, and I'm not going to try to say that it was a lapse in judgment. All I'm going to say is that addiction is a lifetime battle, and being incarcerated is not going to help me overcome that fight, and I have a plan when I get out to enroll myself in inpatient, outpatient program to keep furthering my battle against this addiction, because it's not just going to stop saying, oh, well, let's revoke his parole and send him back to prison until then and see if he's going to be rehabilitated, because there's not really much, because I took substance abuse courses in prison, and it doesn't help when you're not out there really in the midst of things, really fighting that battle. And that's what I need to be reinstated.
Okay, Mr. White, it looks like in November you were positive for cocaine.
Yes, ma'am.
And in January, you tried to have somebody else do your urine test. And why was that?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Dude said that he done it before, and me being dumb and believing that, like, well, if he did, then that was his problem. But I knew I was dirty, and he said, look, man, I did this before for somebody else. And I was like, no, we're all right. And I was just afraid to come back to prison because I can't. This has been the hardest time for me. And since I've been back, it's been even harder for me coping with the fact that I had a job and I was able to work and do good things for myself. And I chose to get high one time, and I thought that since he done it before, that he would be able to make that happen for me. And
well, Mr. White, it looks like you chose to get high two times at least.
Yeah, that's what
you were caught. You just said I chose to get high one time.
I said I had a dirty way in like November, and I had one in December.
Right.
January 3rd.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, addiction is a lifetime battle.
Understood. Okay, sir. What happened the day that this incident? It looks like you still have a pending DL for misdemeanor, but it looks like you got into some kind of an argument, sir.
The officer, police were called to a fight between two different parties. I was trying to break up the fight. Whatever, I'm walking down the stairs, I see the police. My first judgment, I don't even know why, I turned around and almost slipped and fell down the stairs. I went to reach out and grab at the rail or whatever, and the cop tried to say that he wrote a report saying that he seen me swing at somebody or whatever, and I told him all that didn't happen. So when I went to the jail, I got OR.
Okay.
I got released on my recognizance and was scheduled to appear February 8th on my own, and I reported that to my foster. He said, he asked me, how did I get out? And I told him they released me on my own recognizance. And I reported to the foster when he told me to come in, knowing that I was going to be incarcerated. I'm not a flight risk. I just believe that I should get my due process and be able to prove my innocence on this charge, because at the end of the day, I have a warrant that I never had when I could have been able to go to court February 8th on my own recognizance and be able to take care of the situation.
So well, you'll have the opportunity to deal with that then after your responsibility to the Department of Corrections is over. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Quinones has a question, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. White?
Yes, sir.
Just a couple of questions. One, before I get started, I do appreciate that you're accounting for your addiction issue. How long have you had problems with cocaine?
Since I was a juvenile.
And I'm curious about this. We're here for a revocation hearing, but you had a 9-year prison sentence for misconduct involving a weapon?
Yes, sir.
What was that case about, sir?
Oh, it's really, the law with that is it's pretty good in possession, but during certain times of the year or something, it depends if we're in a state of war. If we're not in a state of war, then it would be prohibited possession. I was on probation and I was arrested while being around a weapon, and that's why it's misconduct involving weapons. But if you were to look up the case, it's just me being in possession of a weapon while on probation or in the vicinity of a weapon.
Yep. Well, I understand that charge. And was the weapon on your person?
No, it was in a glove. It was in a glove compartment of a passenger seat of a car I was in.
I guess my big question is, were you having issues with who you kept company with when you were on community supervision? Because, hold on for 1 second, because I'm not trying to interrupt you. My concern is that I really get the part of the drug situation on the street.
Yes.
That it's often partially a health issue, you know, it's a public health problem. We see an epidemic of drug addiction. But it's also keeping company with the criminal element. So were you able to move on from your past?
Yeah, I was able to move on from my past. For the most part, I was able to stay clear of that, but some part of me did put my foot in the wrong places by going to clubs, and I'm an up-and-coming artist too, so I go to the studio and I do music, so certain people I'm around are part of that element, but that's just part of that atmosphere when you're doing music, recording music, because that's a passion of mine, recording music, and I'm an entertainer at heart. And so I would say yeah, but then again, I would say that I should have steered all the way clear of anybody that was a part of my past, and living in Arizona, or not living in Arizona, but just in general, I'm going to run into people that are from my past. And so to answer your question, yes and no.
Well, I appreciate your answer. I'm just trying to understand your individual situation.
But where I live in a great neighborhood in Ahwatukee, Arizona. I don't really have any bad people around me like on a consistent enough basis like that. Well, I wouldn't consider people just bad in general. I'm just saying from my past, I renounced ties from my gang that I used to be a part of, and that's why I'm in this situation I'm in now. I'm currently in voluntary protective segregation right now, because I renounced my gang ties and I'm not putting myself into that element no more. So yeah, I renounced that part of my life, and it should have been noted in my file that I have renounced that part of my life.
No, sir, I'm a little careful when it comes to gangs, because there's often notation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's, whole.
That's why I didn't want a picture being painted of me, because, sir, I'm asking that you guys really look deeper into this situation. I know the board is usually into just revoke, okay, commit and sentence and finish out your parole in prison, but what I'm saying is this, I deserve my day in court. I have a warrant right now for my arrest. When I got released on my own recognizance, the judge basically told me that this charge most likely is going to get dismissed once I go to court, because I haven't been formally charged yet. February 8th, I was going to go to court and find out if I was going to be formally charged. But since I was incarcerated in DOC custody, and I notified my counselor that, and I reported that, can we at least try to call? I was trying to be proactive in my own defense, because I know that this charge was going to be dismissed once it went to court, and once I got to go before a judge, and this charge was going to be dismissed. And now I'm sitting in prison, not able to work, not able to be more productive in my life. Yeah, I've been responsible for my dirty ways, and addiction is going to be a lifetime battle. That even when I'm off the wall, I'm still going to have to fight that battle. But to send me to prison for another year and commit me to prison would be a completely miscarriage of justice, in the sense that I never had my due process, my right to stand and my right to be innocent until proven guilty. All I'm going to get violated for the allegation at this point. And that's why I'm asking the pro, please reinstate me. I'm not asking for a second chance, because a second chance would say that I'm just all the way just a mess up. I'm asking for an opportunity to prove myself and prove to myself and to the parole board that I can complete parole and finish strong.
Okay, Mr. White, I'm going to stop you there. I think you're beginning to repeat some of your issues, but I do appreciate what you've offered.
Oh,
thank you, and I'm going to defer back to my colleague.
Thank you. Dr. White, do you have any questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. White, we're at a point in your hearing we're going to ask your supporters to come up and speak if they'd like to. If you'd come up to the podium here. And I'm pretty sure, is the green light on that?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, good. And just start by please stating your name.
My name is Tracy LaShawn White.
Thank you. Welcome. Okay. What would you like to tell the board today?
I would like to ask that if you give Trayvon White another opportunity to be a part of our society as a mother, I have set up arrangements with his parole officer for him to go to Georgia and live with his mother and his father. I do have opportunities for him to get into programs where it's for his construction ready, and there's a path for him to follow. I do believe in rehabilitation, and I do believe the incident that took place that day was a pure mistake on judgment, as far as that when he was falling, it looked like he was going to hit someone, but no one, that even in video, shows that he actually tried to put his hands on anyone. He had tried to break up a fight, and he was removing himself from the situation, and because of all the commotion that was going on, and being that his name has always been, since a young boy, when he was prevalent in the streets, the police will always gravitate to him and pull him out as far as a person is doing something. I did see a lot of positive things from him when he first got out. He had a job, he had a car, he was staying with his with Shanette, and he was trying to do positive things. He was going back, he had started to enroll in school. And I do believe if you give him an opportunity, as well as myself and my husband, to help mother him. And I know he's 27, but he went into the system when he was about 13. And giving him this opportunity, I would turn him in if I found that he did anything outside the box, if he was given this opportunity to come out. And even if he went to a rehabilitation center or a halfway house, which would give him a better structure. We thought as a family that we were structured enough to do it for him, but maybe halfway house could give him a little bit more grounded and more information on who he should be around and who he should not be around. And then just want to speak real quick on that gun incident. The person that was in that car with him that year did write a letter afterwards and state that he had no knowledge that gun was in the car. Again, he was just being a young man and thought he was going to the club, and that young man had borrowed his girlfriend's car and didn't bring it back on time. He had no knowledge of the young man. Y'all may have a note of it on file where the young man did write a letter stating that Trayvon had no knowledge that the gun was in the car. But again, because of his prior juvenile behavior, is the reason why he got convicted, because he took it to trial and he got convicted and was given a long sentence. But most people was given 2 years for that. And I think 9 years is enough of this young man's life. It's time for him to get out and learn how to be a man. Keeping him locked up is keeping him caged up mentally and physically. The child has suffered. And he's a young man, but he's still a child at heart. And I promise that I will do 100%. I'll go over and above and beyond the community duty to make sure he's doing what a parent can do. Nothing.
Did you, when you started to talk, did you say Georgia, or is that somebody's name?
No, Atlanta, Georgia. We own a home. My husband has been with Southwest Airlines for 20 plus years. I work. We own a home in Atlanta, Georgia. And we didn't do the interstate compact yet, but we are prepared, and we do have the funds and the means to do the interstate compact, so we can go.
Okay, because you said you had talked to his parole officer.
Yes, we had been speaking about right before this incident took place. We were in the process of, but he had to do 90 days here first. So we was in the process of doing an interstate compact to have him taken back to Georgia. And unfortunately, a fight broke out between two individuals, and him being the person he was trying to break it up, and it's just everybody was running, and that's what that is.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for, no? Sorry. Thank you. Good morning. Please state your name.
Shannon Kill on the White.
Okay, thank you. What would you like to tell the board?
I would just like to piggyback on the interstate compact and just confirm that I actually have the funds myself to pay for the interstate compact. My brother, he's a strong individual. He's been through a lot, you know, as far as his childhood and being involved with the streets. But I can honestly say that talking to him, being incarcerated, seeing him upon his release, there has been a lot of changes within Trayvon. Unfortunately, he got involved in a relationship with someone that he had feelings for, I feel like, but it went backfiring on him. I'm not sure if you guys are able to see videos, but I actually have a video of that day when the incident occurred, and you can see him where he's trying to actually break up the fight versus how they're saying that he assaulted someone. And my parents, like my mom said, you know, they are still married. They've been together since, you know, I was born, my parents have a nice house in Atlanta, so if he is reinstated and is able to go to Atlanta with the interstate compact, he'll have a great structure for him, you know, to start his new life, because he's never been able to have an actual life. And I know he's ready for it. I can tell mentally he's ready for it. And I just want to, you know, respect and say that I, as an older sister, I'm proud of him being able to actually acknowledge his faults, because not everybody is able to admit, you know, when they have a problem or when they're wrong. So I just hope that you guys take that into consideration, that he is, you know, admitting that he did wrong, and also be sure of the faith that he is going to, you know, prove to you guys that he wants to be a working member of society and contribute. Excuse my pardon.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. White, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity. If you'd like to, I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. But we ask, you've given us a lot of information. Just want to ask that you not repeat something. So is there anything else that you've not told us?
Last thing I would just like to say is, please don't bunch me up in the group that most people get bunched into, where you guys just revolt, because despite everything, I was doing my best. And I know if reinstated, I know I'm a florist and be a productive citizen in society, that this is not my life, this is not the life I want for myself, and this is not the life I want for my family. Like, I've given my life. My life has been here for a long time, and it's harder when you get found guilty for something that you didn't do. And I know it's already past tense that I did 7 years for something I didn't do, and that affidavit that was read that could have been the thing that changed my life and kept me free was the thing that sent me away for 7 years. And I'm not going to lie, being incarcerated for 7.5 years, being incarcerated since I was a juvenile, it has a way of working a person's mind and hurting a person's mind. And these last few months have been the hardest on me than anything ever. I've been 7.5 years, so saying, okay, let's incarcerate for this last year, most people are, oh, that's nothing, I've been 7 years. But this has been the hardest thing for me, watching my family be hurt by this, and knowing that all I was trying to do was break up a fight, that's it. I kind of wish that I would have just walked away when them two dudes were fighting. I just would have left and let them fight and just let other people handle the situation. But instead, I thought me breaking up the fight would be the right thing to do, and that let me be still in the vicinity when the police arrived, and that's how I ended up being warped into this situation. I just want y'all to know that I am a productive member of society and can be a productive citizen of society. And instead, I will be a productive citizen in society. And that's it.
Mr. White, let me ask you, did you know the people who were fighting?
I knew one of them. I went to high school with one of them.
Okay. All right, sir. All right, thank you for your statement. And the board is going to hold a discussion. We do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we've not discussed your case before right now. So we just ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be with you in just a moment. Okay, Mr. White?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Well, this is an interesting case. Mr. White was out and working. You know, to his credit, he did struggle, it appears, which concerns me some, with not one but two positive UAs, and that leads me to wonder how many more there would have been, because, you know, UA is not taken every day. I'm also a little bit concerned about his continued behavior in prison, which was involving threats and false reporting and drug use in prison that continued. And I'm certainly a person who believes that a person's past behavior is a good predictor of their future behavior. And his lengthy juvenile record leads me to believe that he may still, and you know, associate with those friends. But I'd certainly listen to any input from fellow board members. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. My concern is that Mr. White is
And I don't really mean for this to be pointed, but he's conveniently accountable in the face of misbehavior throughout his community supervision. I recognize he's saying some very good things today, but it doesn't line up with the totality of his behavior under community supervision and inside the Department of Corrections. And it's a concern.
Thank you, sir. I think that's kind of what I was trying to say, but you said it so much better. Dr. Wright, do you have any thoughts?
I think I agree with what Mr. Gorondas has said, but I think that Mr. White and the family must recognize that this is not a trial. We do not make those decisions. We also do not make decisions who will get the interstate compact. That's processed. That one goes through at the Department of Corrections. And I think that, you know, I believe I understand what Mr. White is saying, but I think that one cannot overlook the past, and I think that's a very unfortunate situation. I wish that the past was not there, but we just cannot erase it. At least I cannot erase it in my mind. Let me put it that way. I cannot speak for my distinguished colleagues, but that's my challenge at this particular moment.
Okay, thank you. I am going to make a motion then, and that is based on information of warrant 2019W0257. A conversation with Mr. White, information from his supporters, and information provided by Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. White was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal vice or company, specifically by becoming involved in another incident, and also by using cocaine while he was on community supervision.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones, and agreed Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. White, I know that's not what you were hoping to hear today, sir, but the board has voted to... Mr. White, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. So, as you know, we're showing you a release date.
You tried to have a dirty way for me in prison when I never had any...
Mr. White, this will conclude your hearing. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. Thank you. If you'd lay the phone down and let the CO3 know that you're finished. Thank you.